Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this your holy Sabbath day. We come before you, Father, seeking a word from you. We know, Father, that your words can give us more of your Spirit, because your words are life, and they are Spirit. So as we gain your Holy Spirit, Father, by hearing your word, let us put these words into practice in our lives. Let us overcome this physical, carnal life as we seek your life, as we seek to be a part of your kingdom, your soon-coming kingdom, Father. We ask that you would help us overcome this world and Satan the devil. We love you and we thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And we know, Father, that he came with a purpose, and his life has very great meaning. So help us, Father, not to tread underfoot the blood of Yahshua, but to uphold it. Help us, Father, to walk in his footsteps, to be compassionate and loving as he was loving and compassionate. Help us, Father, to not only love our neighbors, but our enemies as well. Help us to overcome this world and this life so that we would be ready when Yahshua returns to establish the kingdom upon this earth, that we would be ready. So help us, Father, as we influence other people around us in their lives, help us that they would give glory to your holy name, the true and wonderful name, the only name that means I'm eternal, Yahweh, Father, forgive us our sins, because each one of us are carnal to an extent. We want to be spiritual. We want to overcome this world. And we know, Father, that it's only through your Holy Spirit that we can accomplish this. And we thank you for blessing us with that Spirit. And it's in Yahshua's name we come before you, thanking and praising your name. We ask that you continually bless those that have a petition before you in the prayer. And again, Father, watch over your servants, wherever they may be throughout this world. And it's in Yahshua's name we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. The other thing I didn't do, Pam, was the world news, but it's okay. I'm going to send everybody to watchforhim.com, and then they can check it out, because it's like three columns of it. It's a lot of things going on in the world right now. So I've entitled this message, Ordained to Eternal Life. That's the title of the message, Ordained to Eternal Life. Have you been ordained to eternal life? That's the first question. And are you living a life worthy of that high calling? How can you be sure that you are one of Yahweh's elect who has been ordained to eternal life? These are some questions that we are asking today. And we're going to start over in Colossians chapter 3 to answer these questions. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 1. If then you were raised together with the Messiah, seek the things that are above, where the Messiah is seated on the right hand of Yahweh. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. So you see there's a separation right there. Those that are ordained to eternal life are seeking the things that are above, not the things that are on the earth. For you die, and your life is hid with the Messiah in Yahweh. It's hid with the Messiah in Yahweh. When the Messiah, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also be manifested with him in glory. So when the Messiah returns and is manifested, we will be manifested with him in glory, those who are of the elect. And it's very important that we understand the difference. Yahweh makes a difference between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. And there's a reason for that, okay? There's a separation. Verse 5, it says, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of Yahweh comes upon the sons of disobedience. So it's telling us here that the wrath of Yahweh is going to be coming upon those people who are practicing these things, in which you also once walked. Again, the separation. This is talking about what was in our past. Okay? When you lived in these things, but now do you also put them away, all away? Anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Do not speak falsely to each other. In other words, tell each other the truth. Having put off the old man with his doing, and having put on the new man that is being renewed, the knowledge after the image of him that created him, which means that we're going to gain that knowledge of Yahshua the Messiah, so that we understand what he's trying to convey to us through the word. So, it's not going to be a mystery. See, too many people out here believe that the Bible is a mystery. And it's pretty, I would say, open and clear to most of us that are given to it. But you truly have to give yourself to Almighty Yahweh to understand the word. He does teach us in parables, but they're pretty evident once you understand. That's why Yahweh's Holy Spirit is important. You must have His Holy Spirit in your life, because that Spirit puts you at one with Almighty Yahweh. You can understand Him a lot clearer, a lot better. It says here, and having put on the new man, that is being renewed to the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there cannot be Greek or Jew, okay, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freeman, but the Messiah is all in all. Put on, therefore, as Yahweh's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Master forgave you, so also do you. In other words, we have to forgive as we were forgiven. And above all these things, love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of the Messiah rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of the Messiah dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, anthems, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to Yahweh. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the sovereign Yahshua, giving thanks to Yahweh, the Father, through him. And this is what we want to do, brethren. We want to give glory to Almighty Yahweh. We want to give thanks to him for what he's done for us, for sending Yahshua the Messiah. Now, the question that I ask and starting this message is, have you been ordained to eternal life? The message is entitled Ordained to Eternal Life, okay? Now, with these things, These five things can get us there. That's the heart of compassion. Kindness, lowliness, meekness, along suffering. We are not seeking the things of this life, brethren. Your life is hid with the Messiah and Yahweh, as it said in the Scripture. Now, with all the wickedness and evil we face each day, it is often difficult to display compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And those are the five attributes that we have to display as Yahweh's people. Because if we're ordained to eternal life, they're going to come naturally to us. Because all of those things that I read before are put away. All that malice and wickedness, all of that was the old man. That went down. When we got baptized, we left that old man in the grave. See? Once we practice these great attributes, we ready ourselves for the most difficult of all personal traits, the power of forgiveness. And that's really hard for a lot of people. But you have to understand, if you're not willing to forgive, Yahweh's not going to forgive you. You have to get to that point, because when you don't forgive, you're hurting yourself. You're carrying those grudges. You're carrying that wickedness within. And Yahweh wants it gone. Completely gone. So therefore, we have to have that heart of compassion just like Yahshua did. Yahshua went to death for each and every one of us. And that's important for us to understand. Forgiving others enable us to freely give ourselves without respect of person. Those who bear grudges and harbor resentment are unable to express love to those around them. After all, love cannot exist with grudges and resentment. It can't. So people, and I've known people in the past, you know, Passover's coming. You know, you need to take care of Matthew 18. Go see your brother. Get clear. Oh, everything's okay. 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, explosion, eruption. Oh, I hate that so-and-so. I have this problem. You know, but you said it was clear 2.5 years ago. How did you carry it through Passover, Day of Atonement, Passover, Day of Atonement? You did that for 2.5 years. And see what happened, that's why, and I did a message on this not long ago, about not letting the sun go down on your wrath. Because when you do that, you allow it to turn into hate. And it does. It turns into hate. And that's why you got to get clear. Yahweh tells us to clear it. Before that sun goes down, solve your problem. Because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't even know if you're going to be here tomorrow. See? So you want to clear the air. Get it done. Don't wait till the day before Passover and say, oh man, I tried. I didn't get it done. No, get it done right away. You got to clear up all of the problems, even if it's a misunderstanding, because a lot of times that's all it is. You know, I thought, and you know, I know my wife dealt with this recently. Somebody says, well, I heard so-and-so say, and she told the person, you don't go by what someone else says. You come to me. If there's a problem, you think I said something, call me. You know, we can clear it up. And that's the way you deal with it. You clear it up. You don't, oh, I thought you felt that way because so-and-so over here told me, you don't listen to so-and-so. See? If you have a problem, come to me. If it's with me. I mean, if it's with someone else, you go to them. Yeah. Let's get that straight. Now, turn over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we're going to continue. That's Acts chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 42. Acts 13, 42. Acts chapter 13, and the Bible you have is page 859. Verse 42, we're going to start. It says, and as they went out, they asked that these words might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the synagogue broke up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who was speaking to them and urged them to continue in the grace of Yahweh. They were excited. The word had gotten a hold of them. And the next Sabbath, almost the whole city was gathered together to hear the word of Yahweh. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with jealousy. Okay? Now, this term Jews right here is talking about, we're talking about the leaders of the Jewish people. Your Sanhedrin, your Pharisees, your Sadducees. We're talking about the ones who were worried about losing the people. Okay? It says, they were filled with jealousy and contradicted the things which were spoken by Paul and blasphemed. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of Yahweh should first be spoken to you. He's talking to the Jews now, that it must be first spoken to you. Since you thrust it from yourselves and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so has Yahweh commanded us, saying, I have set you for a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the utmost parts of the earth. And the Gentiles heard this, and they were glad and glorified the word of Yahweh, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And that's what's happening today, brother. As many who were ordained to eternal life believe. Our job is just to preach the word, to teach it, to get it out there. See, Yahweh gives the increase. We're supposed to go out and bring the people to Yahshua by teaching what he went through, teaching the Great Commission. And the word of Yahweh was spread abroad throughout the entire region. But the Jews urged the devout women of honorable estate and the chief men of the city and stirred up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and cast them out of their borders. But they shook the dust off their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want you to understand today. This is a process, and that Holy Spirit is active within our lives. We have to show this through our ministry, because each one of us has a ministry. And Yahweh may be calling you to witness and do something different from what he's calling me to do, because that's why we're the salt of the earth. We're in different places, because we're going to come across, he's going to bring different people into your life, into your life, into your life. Those people that come by you have to be salted. They have to be taught so that they can praise Yahweh based on what's going on in your life. And that's why when people say, well, you know, if you're not walking straight, if you're not living a life according to the word, you can give a bad witness. And trust me, we all do it at times, because nobody's perfect. And that's why it says what? A righteous man falls seven times and rises yet again. We're going to have those days where we're down. See? Satan may have thrown us a curveball. You know, there's a new movie out about trouble with the curve or something like that. But some of us can hit curves, you know, with accuracy. But for the most part, it's the hardest pitch to hit for most people. Now, when we show sinners acceptance, they see hope because you show them you believe that they can change. See? Because they see you and they want to know how you got to where you are. You know, I remember when one of the sisters came in, she says, oh, you guys have been doing this for 30 years. I can't do this. I can't be reading all these labels. I can't know all this stuff. And, you know, we told her, you know, it comes in time. All you do is do what you do your best. You go out there and you try to serve him to your best. That's all. And then, you know what? Now it's like old hat with her. She seemingly can do it. But she was having so much problems in the beginning and using excuses about what she could not do. And I said, you don't concentrate on what you can't do, you just do what you can. And Yah will, you know, take care of you. He'll bless you with the knowledge or help to get the rest of it taken care of. Okay? No one has the power to reform another person. I'm going to repeat that. No one has the power to reform another person. Okay? You give him the power to change himself. They get that knowledge. You know, they may look at you and say, you know, I can't get there. You know, they don't trust in themselves. They don't believe in themselves enough. And that's the difference between what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring people along. We're trying to get them to overcome the life that they've got themselves caught up in. Many good people have little or no influence on others who might be influenced by them for the better, simply because they cannot accord the other person any acceptance as he is. But give the other person the idea that he must change some way in order to earn their acceptance. And it's not about earning our acceptance. It's about overcoming their sinful nature, which Yahweh gives them the ability. He always gives us the ability. And this is the purpose. Once you receive the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, you can get there. I mean, the Holy Spirit is what guides you to the place in the first place. See? He's going to get you to where you need to be. It's up to us, you know, to go the next mile. There's no record that any Pharisee ever changed the conduct of any sinner. The Pharisees were good people according to the law, but the very goodness separated them from other men. They were horrified when Yahshua ate with publicans and sinners. They were aghast when he told the woman taken in adultery, neither do I condemn you. But the fact remains that Yahshua had a way with people, see, that no one had equaled before or has since, because he recognized their needs. And it was easy for him to say, I forgive you. And that's where forgiveness comes in. It's very important for us to understand that we can forgive if someone has sinned against them. But we're not in control of other people. How many people do we condemn? See, if we're ordained to eternal life, we have to get to that point where we have forgiveness second nature. You know, we're not troubled by forgiving someone for sinning against us. And that's the difference between Yahshua and the Pharisees. See, the Pharisees, they looked upon people very, very hard. And actually, we're going to go to Luke chapter 18. We're going to look at a couple examples. Luke 18, starting in verse 9. That's page 815 with those that have the sacred scriptures. At Luke 18:9, it says, and he spoke also this parable to certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despising all others. There's nothing wrong with being righteous, but you don't have to despise other people to be righteous. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, Elohim, I thank you that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as the publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up his so much as his eyes to heaven, but struck his breast, saying, Elohim, be merciful to me, a sinner. He recognized who he was. I say to you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalts himself shall be humbled, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. That's Joshua's words, not mine. Matthew chapter 23. We'll start in verse 1. And we're going to end in verse 12, but I want you to read the rest of the chapter. So write that down in your notes that you're going to read the rest of Matthew 23. And 23:1 it says, "Then spoke Joshua to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat." That means something, brethren. They were in charge of the Torah, the religious law of the Jewish people. It says, "All things, therefore, whatever they bid you, these do and observe, but do not you after their works. For they say and do not, yet they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men." And you know, I'm sure you've seen these people, like I said, that'll walk around and they'll have the zip-zips all the way down almost to the floor, or they're wearing their prayer shawls, and you know, they want to look impressive. They want to look holy. They want praise of men. And that's what Joshua's saying. They've received their blessing already, for they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the chief place at feast. This is the New Testament we're reading from. It's talking about the feast. You see that, right? So the feasts are still being kept. Just like he's telling you that we're supposed to follow the Torah, what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were teaching. Somebody's falling in their coat. So it's okay. But it says, "And the chief seats in the synagogue, and the salutations in the marketplace, and to be called of men rabbi. But be ye not called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and all you are brethren. And call no man after your father on earth, for one is your father, even he who is in heaven." So this is the Pope. You don't call him father. You understand? The Bible is telling you not to call this man father. And that's what a lot of people are conditioned and taught to do. But it's contrary to the word. See? Just like we're not supposed to call rabbi. Tells us not to call him rabbi either. There are many that want to be called rabbi. He says, "For one is your teacher," and that's Joshua the Messiah. He is our rabbi. "But he that is great among you shall be your servant. And whoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled. And whoever shall humble himself shall be exalted." And that's what we want to do. Now the rest of this, I want you to read later today, later on in the week, but read the rest of the chapter, because he's dealing with the Pharisees. And like I said, they were good people as far as, you know, they knew every commandment, even the smallest yod and tittle of the law. Them and the scribes, they knew it. See? Because Paul was one of them. And he made a change because Joshua change them. And each one of us has to make that change in our lives if we're ordained to eternal life. And we want to be there. Turn to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, page 817. And we're going to start in verse 34. Luke 20, verse 34, it says, "And Joshua said to them, The sons of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they that are accounted worthy to attain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, for neither can they die any more. For they are equal to the angels and are sons of Elohim, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the place concerning the bush, what he calls Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham and the Elohim of Isaac and the Elohim of Jacob. Now, he is not the Elohim of the dead, but of the living. For all live to him. And certain scribes answer and say, Teacher, you have well said, for they dared not ask any more questions. And he said to them, how say they that the Messiah is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, Yahweh said to my sovereign, sit you on my right hand, so I make your enemies the footstool of your feet. And David therefore calls him sovereign. And how is he his son? And in hearing all of the people, he said to his disciples, beware of the scribes who desire to walk in long roads and love salutations in the marketplace and chief seats in the synagogues and chief place at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater condemnation. That's because they've elevated themselves. So they're going to be cut down. But it says, the Sadducees were a sect of the rulers of Israel that believed there is no resurrection. And Paul used this to his advantage. Turn over to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23, we'll start in verse 1. Because Paul was a Pharisee. He came from that sect. And Paul, looking steadily, that's page 869. And Paul, looking steadily at the council, said, Brethren, I have lived before Elohim in all good conscience until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to hit him in the mouth. Then Paul said to him, Yahweh shall strike you, right at wall. And do you sit to judge me according to the law and command me to be struck contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Do you revile Elohim's high priest? And Paul said, I knew not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, You shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. But when Paul perceived that one part was Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Brethren, I am a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee, or son of Pharisees, touching the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. And when he said so, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees said, There is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great clamor, and some of the scribes of the Pharisees' part stood up and fought, saying, We find no evil in this man. And what if a spirit has spoken it to him, or an angel? And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should be torn in pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the citadel of the castle. So sometimes you have to use, you know, your wits about you, be wise as serpents, as gentle as doves. But Paul knew his audience, so he used it to his benefit, see, to kind of get away from their persecution. The inheritance, that inheritance is eternal life for those that are ordained for it. Acts 20, verse 17. Then over to chapter 20, we'll start in verse 17. He says, And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him elders of the assembly. And when they were come to him, he said to them, You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving Yahweh with all lowliness of mind with tears and with trials which befell me by the plot of the Jews, how I shrank not from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and privately in homes, testifying both to Jews and the Greeks repentance toward Yahweh and faith toward our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah. And now, behold, I go down bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I hold not my life. I hold not my life. Of any account as dear to myself, so that I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I receive from the sovereign Yahshua, to testify the good things of the grace of Yahweh. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I went about preaching the kingdom, shall see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Now we know Paul condemned a lot of true worshipers. He sent them to their death. He put a lot in prison. And this is one of the reasons he's saying he's clear from all the blood. Because he was changed. He was turned around. He was ordained to eternal life. He says, for I know that after my departing, grievous woe. Oh, let me back up. I'm sorry. To take heed to yourselves in verse 28, and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the assembly of the master which he purchased with his own blood. That's why I said each one of us has a ministry that we have to fulfill. Paul said that he was given a ministry, and he said, that I may accomplish my course in the ministry which I received from the sovereign Yahshua. Each one of us has to do the same. The ministry that we receive, we have to declare. We have to fulfill. Now, this organization was started after there was some controversy. Okay? But we started it based on John chapter 21 about feeding the sheep of Yahshua. And it says here, Paul says, that you overseers to feed the assembly of the master which he purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And we see this all the time. There's always somebody that's got some vision or got some dream that's telling them that they go this direction, and they want to, of course, take people with them. And this is what Paul says is going to happen. Therefore, watch, remembering that by the space of 3 years I cease not to admonish everyone night and day with tears. And now I commend you to Yahweh and to the word of his grace, which is able to build up and give you the inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And I'm telling you today, brethren, that inheritance is eternal life. As long as you walk that walk. And don't go off the path. You have to continue to the end. You have to endure to the end, as it says in Matthew 24. Too many people stop short. They just get to the point where they get frustrated. They get overwhelmed. But the Holy Spirit doesn't allow us to do that. They have to stop walking in it. They have to go outside of it. And when that happens, sure, they lose their crown because they've given up. And we can't give up. That's not the kind of spirit we were given. In verse 33, Paul says, I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own necessities and to them that were with me. In all things I gave you an example, that so laboring you ought to help the weak, and to remember the words of the Master Yahshua, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul was ordained to eternal life. He made the difference. Turn over to Luke chapter 7. What is it that you seek from the Savior? Luke chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 36. Every one of us is concerned for ourselves, but we need to understand Yahweh has a purpose for all of us. Luke 7, like I said, we'll start in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with them. And he entered into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. Behold, a woman who was in the city, a sinner. And when she knew that he was sitting at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster cruse of ointment. And standing behind at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. And when the Pharisee that had bidden him saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have perceived who and what manner of woman this is that touches him. She is a sinner. And Yahshua answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, teacher, say on. A certain lender had two debtors. The one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had not with which to pay, he forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him most? Simon answered and said, he, I suppose, to whom he forgave the most. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. And turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, and she has wetted my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves a little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And they that sat at the table with him began to say within themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Too often we forget who we are and where we are. We forget what Yahshua has done for each and every one of us. Yet, we can look at someone else and see their sins and condemn them. That's why I say, how many of us have condemned others when we need to be in a forgiving spirit? We need to do what Yahshua did, you know, and forgive those that have sinned against us. If we're ordained for eternal life, we're going to do this each and every time. Okay? And we're going to do our best to overcome this life and Satan the devil because, you know, he wants you. He wants to put a wedge between you and salvation. You have to recognize that. That's why I say every time when you think of it, you have to know who's whispering in your ear, which direction they're trying to get you to turn. Because often they're trying to take you away from Yahshua. They're trying to take you away from the Savior. In Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 1. It says, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, and whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry, nor lift up his voice, nor cause it to be heard in the street. A bruised reed will he not break, and a dimly burning wick will he not quench. He will bring forth justice and truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has set justice in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. In this manner says El Yahweh, he that created the heavens and stretched them forth, he that spreads abroad the earth and that which comes out of it, he that gives breath to the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk in it. I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand, and will keep you, and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. New things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Yahweh from the Old Testament is telling us that Yahshua was going to be a light to the Gentiles. And you don't know of a lot of instances that Yahshua went forth and taught the Gentiles, other than in John chapter 4, when he was speaking to the Samaritan woman. And then they wanted him to stay with them, and he did. He spoke to them for a few days. This ministry has to continue until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And then the houses will be united, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Do you fear Yahweh as the King of the universe and respect him as your heavenly Father? Yahweh remembers those who remember him. Those who fear him and meditate on his name, who will have their names written before him. By meditating on the meaning of his name, we realize that he is the eternal one, who alone has the power to give life. It is time for each of us to fear and respect him and meditate upon his name. By doing so, we will become Yahweh's possession and be spared from the destruction that is to come. That destruction is coming very, very soon upon this earth. Turn with me to Malachi. Chapter 3, verse 16. 7:46. Malachi 3, chapter 16, we'll read down to 18. It says, then they that feared Yahweh spoke one with another. And Yahweh listened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says Yahweh of hosts, even my own possession. In the day that I make, I will spare them as a man spares his own son and serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Elohim and between him that serves him not. A lot of people don't believe you have to do anything special to serve Yahweh. They don't believe you have to keep the covenant. But I'm telling you, the word of Yahweh teaches us that if we are his people, even in John it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to start in verse 1. Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to start in verse 1. That's page 970 for those that have. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cries out, travailing in birth, and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems, 7 crowns. And his tail draws the 3rd part of the stars of heaven, and did cast it to the earth. These stars are angels. And the dragon stands before the woman that is about to be delivered. And when the child, when she is delivered, that he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all nations. That term nations is goyim, or Gentile, with a rod of iron. And her child was caught away to Elohim and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she was has a place prepared of Elohim. And there they would nourish her 1,260 days, 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angel going forth to war with the dragon. And the dragon warred with his angels, and they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, he was cast down to the earth. And his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our Elohim and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuses them before our Elohim day and night. Satan constantly is accusing. He knows what you've done, but so does Yahweh. And that's why we have the blood of Yahshua, which cleanses all our sins. And he overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony. And they love not their life even to death. Therefore, rejoice, O heaven. And you that dwell in them, woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil has gone down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. And that's why things are getting so tense, because he has but a short time. And he's trying to destroy Yahweh's people. He's trying to take you off of that straight, narrow pathway. Verse 13, it says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. And there was given to the woman the 2 wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time, for 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the stream which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon became exceedingly angry with the woman and went away to make war with the remnant of her seed, her descendants, those who are keeping what? That keep the commandments of Yahweh and hold the testimony of Yahshua. So this is telling us that we need to keep the command. This is telling us that we need to have the testimony of Yahshua the Messiah. Across the page of Revelation 14:12 is another verse that I want to read. It says, here is the patience of the saints. They keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. In the beginning, I gave 5 traits. And that last one was patience. And that's something that we have to have, brethren. If we're going to be ordained to eternal life, we have to have that patience to overcome the persecution. Yahshua showed compassion on each and every one of us. Turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 10. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. It says that he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. It wasn't Sunday. It was the Sabbath day. He's teaching in one of the synagogues, okay? And behold, a woman that had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and she was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Yahshua saw her, he called her and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified Yahweh. And the ruler of the synagogue, being moved with indignation because Yahshua had healed on the Sabbath day. He was moved with indignation because Yahshua had healed on the Sabbath, answered and said to the multitude, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and then therefore come and be healed, and not on the day of the Sabbath." But the master answered him and said, "You hypocrite, do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound lo these 18 years, to have been loosed from this bond on the day of the Sabbath?" And as he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. And all the multitude rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. Yahshua showed compassion for this woman that had been bound by Satan the devil for 18 years. Do we have this type of love, then? He heals on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day to do good things. Okay? It's not restricted to do good things on the Sabbath. But Yahshua let them know exactly where they were, that they were hypocrites. See, because they were more concerned with an animal than for a daughter of Abraham. Are you ordained for eternal life, brethren? Have you been ordained for eternal life? Many are called and few are chosen because they refuse to align themselves with the word of Almighty Yahweh. Yahshua told us in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." These are not suggestions, but commandments, which means we need to follow them, brethren. If we love Yahweh, we're going to do those 5 things that I spoke of earlier in this message. We're going to have a heart of compassion, a heart of kindness, a heart of lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, which is patience. And if we have those 5 attributes, not only will we be ordained to eternal life, we're going to be a part of that kingdom when Yahshua returns. And Almighty Yahweh bless you as you seek to serve Him. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Davis if he would come forth and close with a word of prayer. Yes, sir.
Father Yahweh, as we come humbly but boldly before your throne of mercy and grace, we praise and thank you for this word. First and foremost, we seek forgiveness of our sins, as the psalmist said in Psalm 69:5, that you know our foolishness, and our foolishness isn't far from you. We heard about all the foolish ways and foolish things in which we have in our hearts and our minds at this point, or things we may have done in the past. We ask, Father Yahweh, that you would forgive us and accept our repentance this day. And as we turn from those things, Father, and seek more of you and more of your Spirit, we ask, Father, that you would allow us to be conformed to your Spirit, to do the things that we're supposed to do, Father. We ask right now, Father, that you would allow this word to be sealed in us, Father, so that we're convicted and reminded of it during the course of this week, Father. We ask, Father, that you would lead and guide us into all truths and all ways and all things. We ask that you would bless each and every family represented here and those families that are soon to come. We ask this in your son Yahshua's name. Hallelujah.